14 to 8. Joining us now on the line, we have the Deputy General Secretary of the South African Communist Party and also the Deputy Minister of Public Works, Jeremy Cronin. We are discussing the Mbeki letters and the allegations contained therein against Mr. Cronin himself. Mr. Cronin, thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Sullivan. Thanks for having on your show.
When Mr. Mbeki came out with the first letter last week and he indicated that he was going to write a number of letters over a number of weeks trying to clear up what he felt were misconceptions pertaining to his presidency, did the thought even cross your mind at the time that you may be implicated in any of those letters?
Not really, no, actually. I was puzzled by his first letter itself and a little bit surprised by the second letter, which obviously centrally involved the knee, yeah. So it came as a bit of a surprise.
In essence, he's accusing you of having conducted an interview or having spoken to a journalist and suggested that he quashed dissent and that he was marginalizing people with opposing views within the NEC, and that you apologized for that and you were given a dressing down at an NEC meeting. Your recollection is somewhat different.
It is somewhat different. I mean, first of all, I've never denied that I gave the interviews. There were interviews to an Irish academic, a left-wing Irish academic who'd been very active in the anti-apartheid movement.
Mm-hmm.
The interviews were given in early 2001 and then again in January of 2002. They're quite long. And I thought she was mainly going to be using them for background, you know, as background for her academic research. And she was, and having had a track record in the anti-apartheid movement, like many others, she was quite disappointed in 2001 and 2002 with the trajectory that the ANC was taking at the time. And so she asked me a number of challenging but I think important questions around macroeconomic policy. Why had we gone taken a neoliberal direction? She asked me probing questions about Zimbabwe policy. Why was the ANC-led government apparently turning a blind eye to violence directed at the democratic opposition in Zimbabwe? And a series of questions of that kind, and obviously also the HIV/AIDS denialism.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a long-ranging set of interviews, and we're going over a couple of hours. And I found it useful to be reflective and self-reflective and to be honest, as honest as possible about these matters, and to be critical as I was and had been openly in many interviews at the time as well. Anyway, I forgot about these interviews and assumed that basically they were just going to, you know, be background, as I said, for academic research. But Dr. Sheehan did put them up on an obscure website, her own website, as transcripts. But I didn't bother to notice or to read them particularly. And then in July of 2002, sort of months and months later, I woke up on a Sunday morning to find myself the subject of, you know, front page headline news in the Sunday Times. And I discovered later that someone in intelligence services has told me that they had picked up these interviews, had briefed the presidency basically, and had decided to keep them aside and use them at an appropriate moment against me. And the appropriate moment in July of 2002 was the week before the SACP National Congress. And clearly was an attempt to influence the outcome of that Congress to my detriment. It backfired completely because the delegates at the SACP Congress overwhelmingly agreed with the perspectives that I had been advancing and which I reported to be advancing in those interviews about HIV/AIDS denialism, about the marginalization of COSATU and SACP by the Mbeki Circle and so forth. So that's how they first appeared in the public domain and public debate, not at my instance, but for other purposes, and in my view, I think Mbeki had a hand in that.
If we go by what you've just explained, Jeremy, and also some of the issues that have come to the fore after the first Mbeki letter, the issue of whether he was paranoid, whether he suppressed dissenting voices, whether he used intelligence agencies to try and position himself politically and strengthen himself politically, your version of what happened would indicate that he was guilty in all of those regards.
Yes, I'm afraid so. You know, and that's why I'm puzzled that, you know, I'm not angry now. It was a tough time for me at the time. But, you know, politicians need to have thick skins, and I go by the adage that if you can't stand the heat, you shouldn't be in the kitchen as a politician. But I was never one of those who said we couldn't voice our opinions in the National Executive Committee of the Meal. We did, and we tried, and we certainly, but there was always attempts to block and to shout down and to attack us both within National Executive Committee meetings, but then also outside. And of course, after the SACP Congress in July, the next opportunity to get at me was the August 2002 National Executive Committee. And there, basically, a whole chorus of people, you know, of the inner circle were lined up to bombard me and to attack me and so forth. And even before that NEC, I had, on rereading the transcripts, I realized that while I stood by the substance of what I was saying, I was remiss in breaking with NEC confidentiality. So in the course of the interviews, I mean, it wasn't the main thrust of the interviews, but I did carelessly say, you know, X had said this and that in this particular NEC and so forth, obviously breaking with the confidentiality that is necessary in any organization. And so without hesitation, I apologized then, and I stand by the apology for, you know, saying some things which were a bit careless and for breaking with the confidentiality that is required in confidential meetings. But I've never retracted on the substance, and particularly the point that you've mentioned, that in my view, Mbeki was very manipulative, did not encourage debate, and particularly things that got in the way of what he, you know, the kind of neoliberal vision that he had, whether it was trade unionists or the HIV/AIDS pandemic that we were suffering from. He basically tried to sweep them away. And there was this, you know, there was that pattern of behavior. And so his attempts not to deny that or to really just, I think, underline the point once more, that he holds grudges, that he doesn't get it. He still hasn't got it. And so that's rather sad, because I think he also had many positive qualities as well. I don't hold some personal animosity against him.
Have things improved in the ANC since then? On those issues in terms of more free debate?
Yes, I think so. I'm no longer a member of the NEC. I didn't stand at the last ANC conference, but you know, certainly, and it's not as though there was never debate even back then, but it's just that the presidency in the Mbeki period would unleash a very concerted, very orchestrated, frankly, barrage against dissenting or alternative views. And I think that has changed. That's not to say that all is perfect in the alliance or all is perfect in the ANC. I think there are many challenges, and the ANC itself, in its various pronouncements, is conceding that we have many challenges. But I think that you know, and perhaps the last point to mention in regard to the, you know, I was a minor victim really of this kind of bullying that went on at the NEC. The most egregious event was, which others have recalled in more detail and more recently, was the way in which a retired Nelson Mandela was treated once in an NEC. He'd come to an NEC, and there was a very orchestrated, from the usual suspects, the very people that many of them that went for me back in August of 2002, unleashed this horrible attack against Mandela. And I never believed that he was above criticism, Mandela. But it was vicious and uncalled for. And Mbeki and the top table, who were sitting there, themselves didn't say anything, but allowed it to go on and on and on and on. It was a very unpleasant event. And I think that, you know, that kind of behavior, I don't think you would find in an NEC any longer.
As you mentioned, Jeremy, that Mbeki has many positives. He served the country in the presidency for a number of years. There's this big debate going on amongst analysts as to whether this is beneficial. Some say, well, he has a right to give his input in terms of his version of history. Others are saying that right now his wisdom in terms of the alleviating the problems of the country are more required than his version of events and trying to settle scores that that are pretty much stale now. But do you think perhaps that if the ANC in the last two terms or so had given him more room to voice his opinions, that he would be less disgruntled, that we wouldn't have had these letters coming to the fore now?
Well, I think it was his choice, and I think it was a wise choice on his part, not to enter into the fray of domestic politics. He in fact announced after his recall as president of the country that was his intention, and I think it was well advised. And sadly, because I'm in the same school of thought as those who say that these interventions now are not showing the potentially wise and leadership qualities of Mbeki. They're dragging us back into the Game of Thrones, palace politics, who said what, at a time when our country and indeed the world is facing a whole series of deep crises. And we need as a country to be, as South Africans, to be debating what do we do about the unemployment crisis, the drought crisis, how do we navigate in a very difficult global situation? I mean, the global economy remains in deep crisis. Those are the debates that we need to have. And this kind of grudge-bearing, revisiting of history, unfortunately, is pulling us in the wrong direction. So instead of showing leadership, Mbeki is, I think, demonstrating the mean-sided, petty side of the personality, which was always present and which I'm afraid is coming to the fore once more.
Jeremy, thank you so much for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Hussein. Thank you.
Have a great day. Go on.
Thank you.